Good morning. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Fan Morning Show. Justin and Ailish. How's it going?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I'm sneaking up on you a little bit on this World Cup bet.
I was hoping you would start the show with
I
that.
I gotta say, this was supposed to be a complete demolition from you. But I'm the one with three teams left. You got two. You might have the better two. You might have the only two that can win the World Cup. Oh, I got England.
I got Netherlands and Brazil hanging in, keeping me afloat.
But I got more than a chip and a chair. I can make this happen, I think. Japan, Switzerland, England versus Netherlands and Brazil.
England with an asterisk, as we remember, because you hand-selected that.
You allowed me to hand-select, and I accepted.
I'm regretting that. I'll tell you that for free.
I know. You're a little uncomfortable. It was nothing but confidence. All of a sudden, after looking at the highlighted teams in our doc here, it's a little closer. I got a chance. England, France is, the World Cup gods shine upon us.
You gotta wait really long for that. That's not fair.
Do we?
Yeah, isn't it like Friday?
A little break.
Something like that.
Space it out a little bit here. We're going from like every day to now things are going to be like slow down.
Yeah, that's tough
for
you.
It's a good thing for Wake and Rake.
Watches. It's Saturday, users. England, France.
Perfect.
It's tough for you that watches the show.
I know what I'm doing
or
Saturday.
Watches TV during the show here.
Yeah, it is.
To be focused more.
It's a big blow. The glory days are over.
All right, so you're feeling all high and mighty with your remaining teams.
I'm like Joey Burrow. Not
Joey
quite.
Burrow. Speak of the devil.
How about that?
Patrick Mahomes nailed down to, like, just knows every single... He's in his head. He lives rent-free in Patrick Mahomes' head.
I'm glad you said that because I 100% think it's mental. I think most quarterbacks go into matchup with Patrick Mahomes. Granted, they're not Patrick Mahomes. And only a few can actually measure up even close from a talent perspective. But I feel like because he's Joe Cool, Joey Burr, that he's confident above anything else. Like, you cannot step to Joe Burrow. He owns you. He owns everybody. He's the coolest guy in the room at all times. And normally that's Patrick Mahomes. So when they're out in the field together, there's no like, oh, we already lost. There's no resignation in the moment. He's just able to continue to play. And now if you look at the Chiefs' bugaboo over the last calendar year, only in 2022, they've lost five times. Three of those losses have been to the Cincinnati Bengals. Two in regular season, one in week 17 last year, or week 16 last year. One in the playoffs, of course, AFC Championship game. And now here in week 13. And in every single game, the Chiefs have led in the fourth quarter. But it doesn't matter to Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. They are the Achilles heel to the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's huge implications in the playoffs because they lose, they drop down to second. Buffalo takes top spot. And then Cincinnati is right there to finish third in the conference. We're probably going to see this again.
I hope so.
It won't be four times in 2022, but it'll be four times in like 13 months. It's crazy.
And the Bengals came back to win yesterday too. Like how many other
teams? They do it every time.
Yeah. How many other teams are lining up against Patrick Mahomes down going into, I think it was the fourth quarter.
They just fold.
Feeling like not a problem in the world. We've got these guys. Yesterday was a pretty fun football game day.
What else caught your eye?
Well, maybe not fun for people, that care about injuries.
I think
bad day to beat a quarterback. We'll just say that.
Worst day goes to the San Francisco 49ers.
So Jimmy G and my futures bet on the 49ers. That's long gone.
And they can't do anything about it. They still dominated with Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant.
So Mr. Irrelevant. Does everybody know what Mr. Irrelevant is in case you don't?
Well, you better explain.
The last draft pick of the draft is named Mr. Irrelevant. Mm-hmm. He'll be a starting at quarterback for the Niners.
And there's
hell
no,
yeah,
they
buddy.
Can't really do anything else about it. They're down to the third stringer because Trey Lance already out for the season. Now Jimmy G out for the season. I think they've signed Josh Johnson off a practice squad, but really you're going down with your seventh round draft pick.
The last pick
in the draft. But I think it says everything in the world about Kyle Shanahan. They didn't miss a beat. They were fine. Brock Purdy was fine. Eventually, I think, you know, defenses will catch up. They didn't prepare the Dolphins for Brock Purdy.
All right.
Dolphins are brutal, by the way. That was bad.
Did you see the sideline images of my favorite coach in the league?
Who's your favorite coach in the league?
You know.
You have many favorite coaches.
The skeevy one.
Oh, Mike McDaniel. I thought you were being...
No, they zoomed in on Mike McDaniel at one point, and it's like now the best like meme of all time. He's just like staring into the camera, dejected.
And he's a disciple of Shanahan. Yeah. So Shanahan, he's like he is the Joe Burrow of coaches. Like he doesn't care either. He'll go head to head with you, and it doesn't result in championships. He's been knocking on the door many a times. It looks like they had that team again this year. But now it comes down to whether or not Brock Purdy can do it.
So Josh Johnson, who they signed off the Broncos practice squad.
Which is not a good sign.
During his 13 years in the NFL, he's been a member of 14 different teams. The most for a player in league history. This is his third stint with the Niners.
I guess there's familiarity.
This is the time, buddy. Josh Johnson. Him and whatever his name is, Brock.
So you just want to burn up that ticket then? Your 49ers?
Yeah, I'm not. Well, we're going to talk to Ross Tucker at 8 o'clock, but yeah.
I still think there's a chance.
Okay.
Maybe not. You probably can't win a Super Bowl.
Great defense still.
100%. They can win pretty much any game because they're that good. They've got so many skilled position players and that
more
great
points
defense.
Than the other team.
But like in a Super Bowl, you can't beat a Mahomes or a Allen
Unless
or a
Burrow.
Like you can't. You can't beat one of those three guys, and you're going to have to win one of those three guys to win the Super Bowl. I still don't believe it. We talk about Minnesota and the Jets in a second because it meant something to our show. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles are really the only elite team in the NFC. If Brock Purdy is not all of a sudden Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's a tough one.
I guess I looked at
who I was playing in fantasy football, and the guy I played last week had Jimmy G. God. That's such a bummer.
It's not lining up for you this
year. No, it's not. I'm going to lose another week here anyway.
I avoided the punishment with a victory this week. We have a punishment for last place.
If you lose every game? Oh.
So I'm pretty thankful to have done that. Anyway, my only other take from the weekend in the NFL is that Jalen Hurts should win the MVP.
Okay.
He should. 380 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, 1 rushing touchdown. He didn't have to run the ball, though. Like, one of his few carries resulted in a touchdown in a massive win over a playoff team in the Tennessee Titans, going to win a division, not a pushover by any means, a team that's supposed to win tight games. I don't think he's the favorite right now.
I'm trying to look it up for you.
They definitely closed the gap a little bit because Mahomes was the favorite, and Mahomes lost.
He's plus 160 behind Mahomes, who's plus 100.
I don't think you can make that bet, but if they go 16-1, which is very, very possible. Even if it's 15-2, they're going to have the best record in the NFL. Jalen Hurts is probably going to have, if not the best stats, the second best right behind Mahomes. Mahomes could lose 3-4 games, 5 maybe. Mm-hmm. They're 9-3 now. So, I mean, I think if we're doing winners and losers later, Jalen Hurts, one of my big winners of the weekend.
Lamar Jackson.
Out.
This was my biggest concern when we talked about him. And he's not season-ending injury, but suffered a knee injury, left the game. When he did the bet on yourself, let's not get a contract, let's go all in here. I thought this guy is doing the right thing. But there's
what? You thought that was the right
thing?
Well,
I thought in terms of if he wants to get paid.
He turned down like $100+ million.
And then he started so hot, it was like, this is the best thing ever. And now he gets injured. And this was the lingering concern in the back of my head was, I mean, what are the odds? And then he gets injured, and we don't know for sure how long he's going to be out, not season ending, but...
I don't know. The odds of a guy like him getting hurt over the course of a 17-game season, pretty high.
So he could be in the loser's column. We'll see.
He should be. Fortunately for him, though, it looks like it's not going to be terrible. He did miss the rest of the game. They did win, barely.
They ended up winning.
I'm out on the Ravens.
Maybe they don't need him.
The Ravens are... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Lamar Jackson's there. They're done. They're brutal. Can't beat the Denver Broncos. Can score 10. Denver's got a good defense, but winning by one on like the last play of the game versus Denver, not good.
Anyway, so tough day for quarterbacks. Also, Tua went out with an injury, but expected to be back next Sunday. Just like one after another. Red zone medical alert.
You can scratch him out of the MVP debate. That's
He's
done.
Plus 1,200, but
yeah,
not worth it.
He was up to like 400, 500, but that was a rough, rough game for Miami.
All right, we'll run all this down with Ross Tucker at 8. We're going to have Frank Saravelli, as always, on a Monday morning at 7. We'll have our winners and losers wedged in between. But a big winner this weekend. Mitch Marner.
He continues to win. All he does is win.
He hoisted the Stanley Cup for consecutive points.
Don't do it. Don't go there.
Consecutive games with a point in Toronto Maple Leafs history, extending the streak, clinching the franchise record. But the Leafs fall in overtime to kind of spoil the party.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, another OT loss, six straight.
Another loss to Tampa, another OT loss, another point for Marner. Just trends continuing, right?
It's just like you just republish your article.
Yeah, you don't really have to do much. Just insert date.
Okay, so we have lots of clips about Marner talking about, let's start with the good stuff, setting the franchise record. We heard him talk when he tied the franchise record about what it meant to be in a comma with some of the Leafs' greatest. Now he is ahead of them, and he owns the record. And here's Marner postgame.
I mean, it's cool. Like I was saying to you guys earlier this week, man, I grew up in the city. I love being a part of this team nowadays. It's special to me. It's special growing up to watch this team play hockey and now to have my name in something pretty amazing. It's hard to describe, but like I've been saying to you guys, man, it's not a one-man effort up there. It's five-man. That was a great effort by Dave there on that first one there. And, just trying to go out there and help this team win games. And unfortunately, we weren't able to do it tonight, but... a lot of love to my guys for helping me out achieve this accomplishment.
Just got, honestly, I cannot wait for tomorrow. Like, it's like, I'd like to wake up and it be tomorrow already because they're playing the other hottest player in the league, Robertson. Mm-hmm. The other Robertson.
Battle of Streaks.
Jason Robertson versus Mitch Marner, Battle of the Streaks. That's tomorrow night, Stars and Leafs. He's, why have we never said this out loud? He's on an 18-game point streak.
It's getting a little less attention.
You think?
If you compare the numbers too, I think Robertson would be.
It's incredible.
Like his 18-game streak is markedly more impressive, but, you know, Marner's in Toronto, and Marner took down the likes of Eddie O and Daryl Sittler, and that's what gets the attention.
I'm pretty sure that Robertson's is also their franchise record, but I don't even know who's passed.
I don't know that for sure, but it's not being celebrated the same way. It's not. I don't think there's any grittying going on in the dressing room with Jason Robertson, but that might just be a personality thing.
Well, maybe there will be on Tuesday. It's a battle of the streaks.
There may be.
Anyway, so yes, Marner gets his moment. He scores two goals, both goals for the Leafs there, but OT loss spoils the night. We had talked ad nauseum last week about how happy we were with Matt Murray and the goaltending. And
finally a bad goal.
He lets in a bad goal at the wrong time. And overtime seals the deal. Tough one from basically outside the hash marks.
Mm-hmm. It felt more uncomfortable or worse because it was the Lightning, no?
Yes. It's like we've been here before.
Watching a Maple Leafs goaltender sink as the Lightning celebrate around him.
Oof.
It's kind of like, yeah, the story that's all too familiar. No, it's like completely different. And maybe the Lightning haven't owned the Leafs necessarily. It is only one playoff series victory, a game seven. Didn't happen in too dramatic fashion. But when you think you're writing a new story, right? Mm-hmm. New goaltender, new team,
new streaks,
all these nice things, new support system. Maybe we're trying to convince ourselves it's different. And then you get a reminder that, hey, it might not all be that different. And it's just, doesn't matter. It's 3-on-3 in December, December. It's not a big deal.
It matters when it's 6 in a row that you can't win.
But that doesn't matter to what actually matters, which is winning in the playoffs, right? Like, this stuff is separate. It sucks. It sucks that it's maybe the difference between actually breathing down the neck of the Boston Bruins that you've lost 6 in a row in overtime. Because guess what? It's pretty tight atop the Atlantic Division standings, despite Boston being like 20-4 or 19-4. Like, they don't lose. And yet, hey, NHL parity, Toronto's right there despite all these losses, especially in overtime. But it's the overtime, it's the loser point that's actually keeping them in this race here. But again, if you get there, you earn the point, and they are a little bit unlucky to be in a position, or at least you'd think unlucky to be in the position where they've only got one extra point from 7 overtime appearances.
Bruins have 40 points. That's 20 wins.
20-4.
Leafs have 36 points with 15 wins, but they have 6 overtime losses, and the Bruins have 0 overtime losses.
And the Leafs have played, I think, 3 more games. So there is still a divide there. But if you start winning a couple of these games, you maybe those expectations that we thought we had to readjust, you don't really have to readjust. Mm-hmm. But if you can't get it done in overtime when Boston continues to win games in regulation, well, it's going to be difficult.
So Leafs have 11 straight games securing a point or more.
That's how you get back in a race.
Which is exactly how you make these standings so tight. And post-game, Cooper was talking about the Leafs. He loves to just, like, say nice things about the Toronto Maple Leafs. He gets his foot in the media.
He's good. And he knows what he's doing.
So post-game, he talked about the Leafs and maybe a difference that he's seen in them. And we'll like, set this up as if you feel any better about the Leafs measuring up to Tampa. This is what Cooper thinks about your Maple Leafs this season.
Well, it seems to me, I think when you the Leafs wouldn't, they'd rather have like a 5-4, 6-5 game. I look at a team now that is completely content playing a 2-1 game. And I've gone through that. And when you are building, I look at the Leafs now and you go through the injuries they've had, whether it's been in goal or on the back end, and to continue to not only win, but like they're winning the right way. It looks like these guys are determined, and I understand it's, you know, we're not even a third of the way through the season, but it's if they're going to play like this, it probably bodes well for them come the springtime.
He's got the right read. Like Cooper,
he's watched some Leafs games.
Cooper's doing that on purpose. Mm-hmm. Cooper's always...
He's calculated. He
he's
knows
honest.
He's, doing.
He's calculated. He knows if he can like build up, then maybe he can knock down. And he does this with everyone. I think maybe... What a position to be in, though. When you're John Cooper, you can say anything. You can play games. You can be honest. You can just... Mm-hmm. You can flatter teams. You can really do whatever you want because you've already done it. And you're in a position where... You don't have to worry about getting criticized for anything you say. Like John Cooper's, he's Teflon. He can do and say whatever he wants, really, and it's not that big of a deal. But I think he's got the right read here. I think the Leafs are different, for sure. But I think they were different last year, too. You know what I mean? Like, are they fully grown now? Have they reached the stage of development based on what we saw from the first 2 months of the season? I'm not really sure. I think they're kind of the same team, and they're still going to be mired or dragged down by the same issues that they haven't necessarily or have the potential to be dragged down by the same issues. Like if you look at those two teams last night, it didn't look different. Didn't look different than what we saw in the playoffs. They're right there. Mm-hmm. It's 50-50. But will it come down in the end to, hey, that postseason know-how gets you through, or this little bit of toughness puts you through, or the blue line's a little bit better and that'll put you through, or Andre Vasilevsky's just better than Matt Murray. Mm-hmm. Like, it feels like those questions can't ever be erased. Yeah, the Leafs look more comfortable in this scenario. Yeah, but when they get punched in the face in the postseason, not even literally, just they get, or maybe literally, mm-hmm. but if they play a great team in a postseason, do they just not have it? Like, it's possible. These games are so much different. They were comfortable winning 2-1 games last year. They were comfortable with fourth string netminders. They're comfortable in all these different situations, but it gets uncomfortable in the playoffs. And that's the same case every year with the Maple Leafs.
I do think that defensively, I feel, and maybe it's just recency bias, I do feel like they are playing like a different team.
Team-wise. Yeah.
For the last month, if I'm trying to think about the last month versus when they were in the playoffs last year, I do feel like there's a difference there. It might be because we've been talking about it so much and how it's been led by Mitch Marner, who's been, you know, all over the ice, dominant, and they've been playing with goaltending that's been in and out and upside down. And that has felt like a big team strength. When I look at the playoffs last year, I don't remember feeling this confident about their defensive side of the game, but I don't know if it's enough that I would say that I feel extremely better about where the Maple Leafs are compared to last season.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think they've grown. They've grown.
There's growth there. Like, we could say there's growth there.
But here's the thing. In the regular season, they could do it either way. If they wanted to completely open it up, maybe not to the extent of 2 years ago, 2-3 years mm-hmm. ago, where they had a little bit more depth from an offensive perspective. But if they want to open up and win games 6-5 again, I think they can. But I think the difference is that they can win 2-1 games now.
Yeah.
A little with more regularity. However, I still don't think it addresses one important thing, which is the change in tenor that the playoff brings. Like, it is different. It's not a 6-5 game or a 2-1 game. It's something in the middle, mm-hmm. and it's something a little bit different. And Tampa has been in third gear for the last, what, three regular seasons? But they are better in the playoffs.
They have a championship DNA.
There's some, they are more, if the game changes, they have built their team towards that game. And maybe it doesn't give you the best results in the regular season. Still gives you great results. But it just seems like they are more equipped for playoffs. And the Leafs still have to change that narrative about themselves. They can win 2-1 regular season games. They can win 6-5 regular season games. Nothing's really an issue. But are they more equipped for the postseason?
And Tampa didn't rely just on their main guys. They had depth that came out of...
And that still is the thing that sticks out for me.
Can I read you this stat, which is this kind of qualifies what we were talking about last week when we did the Leafs report cards and we gave the core four A pluses and the rest of the forwards, you know, B average. I saw this in Luke Fox's post-game article from Sportsnet Stats. Going into Saturday's game, so this has probably changed significantly, the core four...
Slightly, maybe.
The core four had combined for 49% of all the Leafs' points. They also make up 49% of the cap.
Okay, so that's a great stat because of the symmetry. That 49, yes. 49 is great, but for that reason.
Four people, 50% of everything.
But I think the stat that tells you more is that those four players have given you 61% of the goals. I mean, that is a bit of, it's a huge benefit and it's a problem. Because if the Lightning find a way to shut down two of those four players, three of those four players, maybe only one can really get it going. Maybe Mitch Marner, like he is right now, is the only one that's really, really going in this moment. Then where does that leave you? And then you look at the Lightning, who have Nick Paul or Ross Colton or a fourth line with Corey Perry, who remains a very, very productive hockey player. Do they have the edge just in that alone? Like, is that stat both... It says everything about the Leafs, but is it damning that 61% of the goals come from four players? I think so. I think it's an issue.
I would love to look at, see this, I wish I did this before. What percentage of the Stars goals are coming from their top two players?
Well, they got one of the best lines in hockey for sure. So,
like,
I think a decent amount.
Is there a team
I
that,
wouldn't say it's the same though. We can look at it tomorrow. Yeah.
Is there a team that has like a 25% share of all their goals from their top line? Like, I feel like this is kind of the way it goes. It seems extremely talking points heavy here in Toronto because those four guys are the guys, but
it's the most extreme divide between the players that are providing offense and not. And if there's, again, if there's one problem with the Leafs right now, Kerfoot's what, stuck on one goal?
Yeah.
Cali Yarncroc had the most from a depth perspective is now out. Engvall's got a couple. Robertson has a couple, I think, but he's in and out. Like, they just don't have that depth of scoring. It's coming down to those four players every single night. And I don't know where that leaves you in the postseason. So I guess to answer the question, do I feel more confident about the Leafs in the playoffs if it's Tampa again? Not really.
I do. Let's say 8%.
8% more confidence?
Right now.
That's huge.
On December 5th.
That's huge.
Okay. We've had a pretty great month here.
I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know exactly what it means because I don't know where it came from, but like, where were you going into the series last year?
I don't remember. That was years ago.
Did you think they were going to win? 7 months ago.
I don't remember if I felt like they were going to win or not.
Were you confident?
Probably not. When are you ever confident?
So you're more confident then?
I'm a little bit more confident, yeah.
And it's just the state of their defensive play?
I think it's the state of their defensive play and... That the fact that they've had to overcome some...
What about their goaltender?
Well, currently, in the small sample size of the games they've played, I feel better.
I feel a little better about the goaltending
as well.
You
can ask me this in February, and I might not feel the way I am, but I'm trying to just focus on the last month where they've gotten 11 straight games with points. They've come from a road trip where they were literally going to sell the
team. Too.
For sure. They were going to sell everybody, the coaching staff, put everyone on for sale boards, and they found a way... to come back and turn the ship around. Our grades, our report cards, we were pretty favorable in a lot of areas of the Maple Leafs. I don't know if I feel like I'm not confident in them. But they're never in my mind am I ever going to get through the fact that all of this doesn't matter until you start the playoffs.
I'll say this. I don't have... In sports, when you're watching sports, you're a fan. Sometimes, oftentimes, you get the feeling it's like, oh, remember when we had that feeling against Belgium? Canada versus Belgium. We're like, oh, they're the better team. At no point have I ever thought, oh, the Leafs are way better than Tampa. Leafs are going to beat Tampa. Like, it's very competitive. Mm-hmm. It's going to be another 50-50 thing if they meet again. I will say optically, though, looking at Matt Murray, I feel more confident. Bigger guy who's not giving up bad goals with the exception of that one.
Well, that one also, did you watch Austin Matthews in overtime? He did nothing to help his team. Gave the puck away.
I noticed that you said that.
Did you go watch the goal? He dropped passes to nobody and then half-ass skates back, and the guy he's covering scores one-handed playing defense.
But you trust your goaltender there. Like, sure. We talked about...
But I just got to say, it's not all Matt Murray on that one. There's a little bit... You're the heartbeat of this team's... Like,
and maybe, and he affected the shot a little bit with a lazy stick play. If you're going to let him take the shot, let him take the shot. But again, we've talked about how, hey, you can't go 100% in three-on-three, right? You skate yourself out of position. Sometimes you got to make calculated risks where it's like, okay, Murray from 25 feet, he's got to stop this.
I agree.
Alex Killorn. I just don't put your stick in there. Again, it comes down to the issue.
Give the puck away at the blue line.
That's true as well. That's, I guess, the more important issue. But practicing this has not given them anything. For some reason,
I think they practiced it one day after that stretch where they had lost it.
It was probably...
And everybody in Toronto media was filming the practice, and it went on Twitter, and we thought, oh, they're fixed, and then they lost the next one.
Yeah. I mean, it's not... He didn't do it to, like, purposely show, hey, give something for the media to talk about, but, like, that's kind of how it worked out.
It kind of seemed that way.
Anyway, for some reason, Matthews is not a great 3-on-3 player. I've said that I think John Tavares is sort of a liability 3-on-3 because he's just not fast enough. Mm-hmm. So... These guys, for whatever reason, being great 5-on-5 players, are not great in this scenario. It's just facts. Like, they're not. Mitch Marner should be really good at it. Nylander should be really good at it. It's just not working out. Maybe start Marner and Nylander next time.
Okay. Send that in.
Although, I don't think Austin would love that.
Okay, looking ahead to tomorrow, Leafs play the Dallas Stars, who I watched a couple of their games this weekend.
You watched two Dallas Stars games this
weekend?
Look at you.
I don't know. They just happened to be on when I was around.
Sportsnet picking up on one of the hottest teams in hockey.
Seriously. They're fun. Anyway.
This is a good measuring stick game.
I watched their shootout loss last night. And they came back. It was like...
Four unanswered or something?
It was four unanswered goals. And then they played Thursday night. And they smoked the Ducks. But... I feel like I've been watching a lot more Stars lately because of the way Robertson's been playing. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited to see those two line up against each other tomorrow, the streaks. I like the question. We can open up to the text line if you feel any better about the Leafs measuring up to Tampa after watching their performance on the weekend. It's a small sample size. It's December, but you know, this is the team this season. If they happen to match each other up in the playoffs, do you feel better yet?
I will not if I see Mac Hollowell killing penalties against the Lightning in the playoffs. That can't happen. Can't be in that position. Shouldn't be in that position.
Yikes. All right, anything else on the Leafs for you?
No, I think that's it.
Okay, the Raptors. Oof. They split the weekend.
Which is very Raptors-like this year. It seems like one step forward, one step back.
That's exactly how it felt. Friday night... So, as a reminder, Wednesday night, they had a devastating loss.
Yes.
And we came
Important context, if you're considering the whole weekend.
Yeah. Let's just backtrack a little bit. Wednesday night against the Pelicans on the road was, I think, maybe the most disappointed I felt in this team in a long time. It was an embarrassing display of athleticism, I think we said. Maybe I said that. Okay. I was a little heated because they had just come off the return of most of their players, and they had a hell of a start. The momentum was high, and it was like, it's time to stick this together. And
foot in the ground. Let's go.
Then they come back home. They're on the road. They play the Nets, who they play every week. You know they play the Nets again next week?
How many times do they play the Nets?
I honestly
this year?
Don't get it. Anyway,
we need an NHL schedule for the Raptors.
So, and Friday night was possibly just as bad. First quarter blowout out of reach. 81 points in two games against them in the first quarters.
It made 11 of the last 14 first quarters that they lost.
Just starting.
This one in devastating fashion.
Late, non-professional, as everyone's using the words now, which I like. Nurse shuffling the starting lineup for the 10th consecutive game. And that obviously had to do with a lot of injury issues, but he's still looking for that right group to start. Clearly hadn't found it after getting blown out back-to-back first quarters. He's like, it's the Raptors are notorious for being able to be plucky and fight back and make these like fake comebacks, but you, it's 40 points in the first quarter.
It's not happening.
It's not happening. And they do a very good job at keeping you engaged at times. Like in the fourth quarter, when they cut a 36 point lead down to 8, it's just, it's exhausting, I'm sure, as a player to be playing from behind. Anyway, Friday was awful. They have a players only meeting following Friday's loss. Mm-hmm. This comes out in the media. And it worked because Saturday at home against the very depleted Orlando Magic team, they get a good, strong statement win. But you're going through some controversy in the locker room, some lack of leadership, players.
Or they showed leadership after.
Yes, but before Friday, they were struggling. Friday, mm-hmm. they had a meeting. We don't have like audio clip from the meeting, but we do have a quote that Fred said in the media when asked about this. Nobody really likes to be harping, yelling, cussing, or fussing around. So I think some things just go unsaid at times. And there are times when you need to say it out loud, let people know what our standards are around here, and just tighten the ship up a bit. We're not going to win all the games. We know that. But there's certain ways that you want to play every night, and those two games were just unacceptable.
Yeah, it feels like the Raptors, I see a lot of that in the Raptors, in that a lot seems unspoken. Like, maybe that's Fred's leadership style. Mm. Not to say that he's quiet by any means. I think he gets in the ear when he has to. But Nick Nurse is loud. Nick Nurse is brash on the sideline. He can be very, very involved and loud. Obviously, we see that all the time. But it seems like the Raptors' way is almost this unspoken way, where it's non-controversial, where it goes without saying sometimes. And I feel like, yeah, it probably needed to say something. And it probably had to come internally because their starts haven't looked good. But again, no. Like, is it especially with the Nets, is it an effort thing, or is it a defensive thing, or was Brooklyn just hitting shots? Like, Brooklyn didn't miss early. Now, is that because you played poorly defensively? I don't really know. I tried watching the first quarter and like, was it about breakdowns? Was it about being late on rotations? Was it about this and that? And maybe my untrained eye, I can't see that. I just saw a team that was elite offensively hitting shots. Mm-hmm. But there must be something to it. There has to be something to it because, again, 11 of 14, that becomes a problem and something they have to address. I just think, though, okay, so you addressed it against Orlando. Yeah, you were going to address it against Orlando. Like, it was going to happen, probably without saying something, because I think the standard is that. My thing with the Raptors is, if they are so unconventional, if they are so, hey, we're going to do things differently, we don't have someone that's going to guard the 2 or someone that's going to guard the 4 or someone that's going to guard the 5 every single time out, does it have to be perfect every time out to work? Like, if there's a game plan that has to be executed, that's a little bit more beyond, hey, you guard this guy, do you leave yourself open for these scenarios more often than not? Because you have to be perfect in those moments if you're going to be unconventional. And every time they've had to be a little bit different, they go up against Durant, we want to throw 3 against Durant, mm-hmm. we want to body Kyrie, we want to do this and that, we want to do all these things, we have so much that we have to think about and execute. When the problem is complex, they don't often get the results they want. Durant has burned them. The Nets have beat them, is it 3 straight times? Or is it 2-1 on the season? Anyway, Brooklyn has beat them the last 2 times out, or beat them decisively twice this season. Mm-hmm. The Zion problem was a big problem that they couldn't solve. They couldn't do anything versus Zion. So when the team is a little bit, when the team is, or the opposition is a challenge to shut down, they've had trouble doing it. And that's supposed to be the hallmark of Nick Nurse, making up for different, maybe a disadvantage because of the strength that they have defensively. So I just feel like they're not well-oiled, they're not well-tuned, and it shows. And is maybe more drastic, especially against a team like the Brooklyn Nets, because they can punish you. And the Raptors have been not tight enough to not get punished this season. It doesn't matter against a team like Orlando, but it matters big time against a team like Brooklyn or New Orleans.
Or the team that's in town tonight, the Boston Celtics, who are
and they're the perfect example.
They're coming into town on the back of a back-to-back. It's a great early season test to see who the Raptors really are. You mm-hmm. just laid out the fact that against better teams, they're struggling. They're struggling to shut down the guys that they need to.
Strong and offensive teams have been a real issue.
Here's a great opportunity.
Even Shea
to show
with
that.
The Thunder.
Yep.
He was an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So they run into big problems and they can't solve them. And it's funny because Boston, they are the opposite of unconventional. They are conventional. They kind of do the same thing every night, at least from my, again, untrained eye a little bit. Like, they just have players that play natural positions, do natural jobs, and it works. Guess what? They're like the Boston Bruins in that there's something like 20-4. I think it's like 18-4 on the year. Something like that.
Celtics are 19-5.
19-5. Okay. Pretty close.
Raptors are now 12-11 on the season.
So this the Celtics may not be like the Pelicans or the Nets, but they are a team that can probably do better against the Pelicans or Nets. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with their record, they're well above it. But it's a great test. It's a big test. And there's tests coming. Like, it doesn't slow down for the Raptors. They've got to find a way to shut down great offenses, great teams, or they're going to slip and keep slipping behind. And they're going to be below 500 soon enough if they can't find a way to put better performances forth against really good teams.
And maybe the players-only meeting comes at the right time. Obviously, there was a response the next game. As we said, it wasn't, you know, against the Celtics, but nonetheless, it came when it needed to come. In learning about this players-only meeting, it sounds like Fred was, you know, the captain facilitator, but a lot of praise went to Thad. Oh, just love Thad Young. Just got to give him more love here because he's been there. He's a vet. When you add players like that onto your roster that aren't going to be, you know, I mean, he's been playing extremely well on the court, but a lot of Thad Young signing is about him as a leader and his value as a vet. Apparently showed that quite a lot in the meeting, speaking about getting off to better starts, the importance of like being ready, not just like physically, but mentally. He really leaned into the fact that he's been around this league for so long. This team is talented enough. You have the puzzle pieces. Like, the Raptors have an all-star, a top five, a defensive player of the year, a reigning rookie of the year. Like, look at the pieces that the Raptors have. They could be a team that should be making more noise than they are. And Thad kind of laid it down and said, hey, like, let's just reevaluate how we prepare for games. Let's come out and let's do this the right way. And seems like it worked in one game sample size. Tonight is a huge test. Celtics in town, 7:30 here in Toronto. And you just got to start, as you said, you just start like stringing together good performances. Like, you cannot have these games that are absolutely god awful.
And there are excuses too. Like, Nurse starting a different lineup, for 10 straight games.
Yeah, that's
like,
awful.
That's a little unsettling.
And it's hard.
What other options did he have at times too?
Like, he had the 905 in the roster.
He hasn't had like the ability to just rely on one unit. But when you continue to change it, and changing it even with bodies back here, yeah, maybe it contributes to those starts where it's like, okay, we still have to work out exactly how this is going to function. And if you're hesitating for a moment against a team like Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie on the floor who can hit pretty much any open shot, it's going to burn you. So I feel like that's part of it. I think they need to find their center a little bit. I think they need to find their starting lineup, and I think they have to roll with it. 10 different starting lineups in a row. I don't know this for certain, but I bet that's not a Boston Celtics problem.
I certainly don't think it's a Boston Celtics problem.
No.
One good thing out of the weekend, though, for Raptors, Siakam passed to be number 5 on the Raptors' all-time scoring list. 6,604 all-time points.
Was he about halfway to the record?
The record, DeMar DeRozan, is 13,296. Kyle Lowry, Chris Bosh, Vince Carter, all ahead of him.
About halfway.
Obviously, young career. It's been pretty incredible to have those numbers already. We know that he's got lofty expectations for himself. And when he's playing that way, he can be the guy that we all believe he can be. And post-game, obviously, with the news that he had moved up the Raptors' all-time scoring list, he was asked in the media, Fred VanVleet, who's, you know, the leader in the heartbeat of this team, talked about Siakam's legacy as a Raptor already in his young career.
He's right up there at the top. I think, you know, as he continues to grow, I think what we're seeing from him this year is putting him pretty high on the list. We'll see how that turns out in the playoffs. I think we all are spoiled now since we won a championship. We hold everything to that caliber. So if he can lead us in the playoffs like that, with that same incredible performance, I think he's going to keep climbing. And, you know, he'll have a heck of a case at the end of his career.
He's going to keep climbing, that's for sure. I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. And he could get up there in Lowry Bosch territory at 10,000 before we know it. Maybe 13,000 is a bit of a stretch. But if he sticks around in Toronto for the long haul. I mean, we could be talking about, you know, a guy who leads in multiple offensive categories for franchise history.
All right. We'll see what he can do tonight against the best in the league, Boston Celtics and Raptors tonight. You also have the Saints and the Bucks on Monday Night Football. You can send in your Wake and Rake picks from either of those teams or some World Cup action, full NBA and NHL slate as well. Send those in at 590-590. We'll put together our Wake and Rake parlay. Looking to start your week off on the right foot. Get back on a little winning streak here. Justin's eyeing some World Cup bets. I see the twinkle in his eye. Ooh. As soon as it said World Cup.
It's been tough.
A smaller slate to choose from today.
Maybe diving into the most sophisticated betting market in the world wasn't the best idea.
Hey, you hit some. We remember because they're big moments on our show. We're going to take a break. Send in your Wake and Rake picks. And we'll do the A-List next. It's Fan Morning Show. Justin and A-List. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We're back on the Fan Morning Show, Justin and A-List. Last week, you went to the dentist. We spoke about teeth for a while. I'm going to the dentist tomorrow.
Ooh.
We will speak about teeth.
I hope your experience is better than mine. You're going to come in here bragging.
No, I'm not going to enjoy it. I'm quite level-headed. I never brag. Okay, but first up in the A-List is wisdom teeth related.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
Do things as relatable as wisdom teeth videos where someone's just high out of their mind, talking without realizing that they're being recorded. Those clips always make me laugh. There's one going viral right now about a young girl who... It's a big Bengals fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I split it into two segments because it's like a 3-minute long video. It's awesome. But the girl is in the car on the way home. This was taken before 2 weeks ago. So they hadn't played the Chiefs yet. And
so still trying to find themselves a little bit.
Yes. So first part of the clip is her talking about how much she loves Joe Burrow. We'll play that one first.
What's wrong, sis?
I know he's got a girlfriend. And I'm happy for him. But I'm not happy for me.
I know.
In that situation.
You love Joe Burrow, don't you?
He's pretty, but dang it, he's talented. And let's be honest, I go for ambition, not look.
That's an all-timer.
I go for ambition, not looks, but damn it, he's talented.
That's good.
I love it. So she's getting in her feels a little bit about Joe Burrow. And
we often talk about like truth serum in sports,
yeah,
like a big truth serum debates. Like if we could inject this person with truth serum, what would we find out?
That's what's in wisdom teeth.
Yeah,
surgery.
That should be the conversation now. Let's take this person's wisdom teeth out and see what they actually think about things.
All right, so this will make her happy because she's teeing up that they're going to play the Chiefs and was unsure of how it would go. Now, Monday morning, we know that. You just can't stop Joe Burrow. But this was her pre-game feelings and thoughts about them matching up.
But then, even if we get past that one, well, then we got the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and he's so good. And everyone knows it. And he makes those Subway commercials.
Anyway, she'll be happy to wake up this morning.
How old is she?
She looks like she is in late high school to early university. I do not have her personal information available.
Who do you think posted this? Mom or friends?
Mom. Mom's in the car.
Parents.
It's good, though.
Just exploiting their children a little bit
for content. The whole video is 2.5 minutes long. She goes through, like, you know, Joe Mixon, talking about Jamar Chase. Like, she could honestly be like a play-by-play or a color analyst because she knows her stuff. Like, I'm kind of worried about her taking our job here, so I'm going to stop playing her clips. Mm-hmm. But she's
well,
great.
Well, stop taking her with the wisdom teeth out of
us. Yeah, that's true. Anyway, so she's feeling great this morning because Joe Burrow did his thing.
Good for her. All ambition.
Right. We talked about Marner having his record-breaking night. Well, they were also celebrating Steven Stamkos' 1,000th career point. Mm-hmm. That same evening, he got the gold stick and the 6 gallons of wine and et cetera.
Scotty Cameron.
He had a very nice ceremony before. And then he was asked about, if he remembers, being on his own point streak, which he was on at one point. And he had a great response to something that happened to him here in Toronto.
Do you remember what it was like when you went on your 18-game point streak?
Oh, yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday because my sticks got stolen after the game at the Toronto airport by Toronto security. And then I didn't get a point the next game. So I remember that pretty clear, pretty fondly. Yeah, Marty St. Louis and I sticks went missing after the flight. I think we went to Washington the next game, and we were both on like really good streaks. And I think there was a few that I had left in the bag, but not the ones that I was playing with. And I'm not sure that happens anymore, but it certainly had happened in the past, depending on which airports you go to, especially the ones where they love hockey. Your sticks sometimes go missing.
Somebody stole Steven Stamkos' stick when he was in the middle of a hot streak. And he failed to continue such streak.
Pearson better shape up.
That's a bad look for Pearson Airport.
That's one of the only things you can't really disclose when you're traveling. Like, you know it's a hockey stick. I guess a golf bag, too.
Mm.
But hockey sticks are hockey sticks. They look unmistakably like hockey sticks.
Well, they're usually one of those long
So if it's got a bags. Big lightning logo on it, you kind of know you're...
It's like, I think a hockey stick must be the hardest thing to hide under the tree. Like, you wrap that thing up. It's like...
You can go behind the tree, though.
But, like, clearly you know what it is. It's a hockey stick. Have you seen the videos of...
Moms and dads will use the, oh, we got you one more thing line at the end of Christmas and then go to the garage, pick out the stick, and then it's like euphoria for the kid.
Have you seen... There's a guy on social media. Take a look at this. It's hilarious. Where he... wraps up Christmas presents like something it's not. And it is the most creative thing I've ever seen. So let's say it's, I'm going to give you a bicycle. Mm-hmm. Imagine trying to wrap up a bicycle.
That's pretty unmistakable too.
He does, I don't know, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, find him. And he'll wrap something up so it looks completely not like that item.
Mm-hmm.
Bicycle's a bad idea. I mean,
if you could hide a bicycle, it's pretty impressive. Or make something else look
yes,
like
a bicycle. Yes, that's kind of what I meant. So, like, I'm going to give you a shoe, a sneakers. Mm-hmm. He'll wrap the sneakers up so it looks like a bicycle. And it's honestly bewildering how he does this. Take a look. So if a hockey stick was one of the things that was getting wrapped up, he would make it look like an airplane. I don't even know how to explain it. Take a look.
I bet you're a good rapper.
I am elite at rapping, yes.
That's very unsurprising.
Well, I have attention to detail, Justin.
I think pound for pound, actually, I'm not bad.
I mean, you just have to be patient, and you need to learn about the size of cutting the wrapping paper, because if you have too much, it's sloppy.
Why do you have to be patient?
Because sometimes it's like, it's not a quick thing. You got to like, to have creases, and like, if you do it right, it looks beautiful. You don't get to just like haphazardly wrap something.
I was definitely right with that assertion.
I could give you some wrapping tips. Anyway, Yeah, so take a look at this guy that films the stuff. It's great.
Right, let's get to the soccer report, brought to you by Certainty, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. Certainty'd pro all the way. It was a glorious weekend in Qatar.
It is always a glorious
weekend. Words I never thought I would suggest, but it was a glorious weekend in Qatar. The round of 16, of course, is underway, and it yields two unbelievable quarterfinal matchups after the weekend results. The Netherlands beat the United States, and Argentina beat Australia, setting
up... It was getting close, though.
Netherlands and Argentina. It was getting close. Those soccer rules were plucky. Anyway, now your Netherlands got to beat Argentina to move on. And then this is the big one. I mean, France and England in the quarterfinals at a World Cup is as good as it gets. France beat Poland 3-1, and England beat Senegal 3-0. The African champions go down. So today we have Japan and Croatia and Brazil and South Korea to put together the next quarterfinal matchup. Your Brazilians need a victory. I have Japan, so we might have a little head-to-head in the next round. But the quarter or the round of 16 will conclude on Tuesday after Monday's results. This soccer report was brought to you by CertainTeed, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTeed Pro all the way.
Japan has been quite impressive. I'm getting a little worried about them.
Are you?
Yeah.
What's your take on that ball that did go out but didn't go out?
Go out of bounds or in the net?
The winner that they had where it looked like he didn't quite keep it in.
I'm not even going to get started on soccer replays and balls and like the fraction of a hair.
I thought they were going to look at a Tebow's. They must have. Remember when it landed on the goal line? Like I thought maybe, but I guess if they counted the Japan goal, there was no chance. But I thought, hey, that ball's pretty much over. Did it land first in the net?
I don't even want to delve into that.
You're not a VAR skeptic or truther?
Like when there's an offside by a nose.
It's just someone's finger went too far.
It's so dumb.
Is it dumb?
Yeah, sometimes.
I think VAR is dumb.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Just like let it. I'm not a review person. Just let it happen.
I don't like review. If you miss it, you miss it. Unless
if you miss it, and then you have something to talk about for the next 35
give
years.
Give us content.
Exactly. This is too perfect sports these days.
All right, so maybe your wake and rake picks come from today's Japan, Croatia, or Brazil, South Korea match. You got a couple more segments to send those in at 590, 590. We're going to take a break and talk to Frank Saravelli on the other side. It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.